So yesterday we went through the Gemara, where, again, we noted the Gemara said, okay, if I gave you the, if I, the landlord, rented out my 28-bedroom Zering estate to Mordechai on some point, under the, and for some reason, you assume that it was checked for chametz. So then the Gemara asks, if it turns out it was not checked for chametz, is that a mekach ta'ut, right? Does it reverse? Is it a mistaken sale? And the Gemara answers that it is not. That is what we know. What was left open were a lot of things. So, for example, are we talking about a case in which this is the 14th, and the reason that Mordechai assumes that I did bedika chametz is because, you know, it's the 14th, I should have already done that, as we established in Amud Aleph. Or are we talking about the 13th, where I told Mordechai, don't worry, the house I am renting you, it has a pool, it has a tennis court, and it's chametz free. Oh, the luxury, the luxury. It's chametz free. You don't have to search. And then Mordechai shows up, and there is a pool, and there is a tennis court. There are also bags of bread randomly lying around the house. And he calls me up, and he says, what are you doing? So is that the case where the Gemara says, well, too bad. And then the Gemara says, and what about, is there a difference between a case where the norm is for Mordechai to search by himself, and therefore all I've done now by lying to him is that he now needs to spend, instead of resting on Erev Pesach, he needs to search for chametz, or even in a case where he now needs to rent a team of 25 people to search my 28-bedroom estate that I have now given him to Mordechai, there's going to be the one person who listens to the shir online and says, really? You have a 28-bedroom estate? Chinuch pays that well? You're like, no, do you not know what a theoretical is here, right? We can all dream. Not really. Why? Who would want a 28-bedroom estate? What would you do with it, and how would you clean it?
Yeah, rent out rooms, make
what?
More money.
Therefore, I've been to very big houses. I don't know what you need with 28 bedrooms.
Really killer houses.
I can't imagine having 28 kids.
All the grandchildren.
Everyone's here.
Great. Yeah, okay. So, anyways. The Gemara is saying the more radical thing, which is where Mordechai explicitly said, listen, man, listen, Rabbi Zirig, I am only renting this property for Pesach because I don't want to have to search for chametz in my own 28-bedroom estate, right? I have my own 28-bedroom estate. I just don't want to be there because, you know, there's every room has, in every nook and cranny, has either the stale Oreos that Avi left there, right? Or the, you know, $500 bottles of whiskey that Ray Ginsburg left there. Yeah. You know, because I don't know who else owns such bottles of whiskey, right?
You just forgot that.
This is in another world where we're all billionaires, and that's why we all have 28-bedroom estates. So in theoretical world, yes, Ray Ginsburg came by so many times to discuss it again, and each time he just accidentally left bottles of expensive whiskey under your under the couch.
I like that idea. While we're making theoreticals for Gemara, may as well make it the ideal world.
Right. Once things are theoretical, you could come up with whatever you. I mean, I don't know. Do any of you like whiskey such that you're leaving $500 from the four guys who came to my house for Shabbos? I've gathered that you can that. All you like in alcohol is Moscato d'Asti, and like A, that's not chametz, and B, that's not alcohol, right? I mean, it is, I guess, theoretically, right? It's not wine. It's not legally wine either. It's wine cooler when you take your driver's test because it's, you know, 5% alcohol or something, right? And I don't like hard liquor, but that is not wine.
Did we say we liked it?
What?
Did we say we liked it?
Nadav said he liked it. What? I don't know. Do you not like? I don't know. I don't like it. It tastes to me like soda, and I don't like soda. I know Josh likes it. We went through this on Purim that he liked Moscato d'Asti. I'm like, okay. I mean, I guess you're technically Yosef.
Rebbe, you know what Rabbi Ginsburg got from the Purim? A strawberry sparkle teeny.
That's what the drink was called.
Yeah. So I just half a glass of dry red wine. That's all I need. Come on. I like dry red wine. I don't like a lot of it because I do not have any interest in ever being even tipsy. in my life. I have no such intention. I've never done it. I have no intention of ever doing it. In case that wasn't clear.
I don't know how to eat this.
What?
I don't know how to eat this.
That is apparent that you do not know how to eat an orange. I see that. I see that. That is.
If you like some alcohol.
I thought you were going to say that was why he doesn't know how to eat it. But okay, you're perfectly willing to accept the possibility that he doesn't know how to eat an orange. Okay, well, that's nice of you. Fine. But the question we have to deal with in the Gemara is this, right? Now, as we already saw from Tosfot and the Ran, that Tosfot and the Ran divide on the question of whether it's the 13th or the 14th, where the Rajba assumes, the Rajba quoted in Tosfot, assumes that we're dealing with the 13th, which on the one hand is a less of a Kiddush in terms of Bidika Chametz, because that's why he's not chayef to do it, right? That's why me, landlord, right, is not chayef to do it, because we already established that by the 14th, the landlord is. That's not a great apple. No, it's not. That's, no, don't eat that.
You're really not doing well with fruit today.
Yeah, he's not. He told me it was just because he assumed that everything in the store is, but I told him it's not. You can put it there, look home, or whatever you want. I'm not really sure. Anyways,
but it is already kind of
wrong. Right, but on the monetary issue, this is a much bigger chiddush, because it was the 13th, that means he said, I said explicitly, Mordechai, you will be able to enjoy your vacation, and you will not have to search for chametz. And then you showed up, and you would. Tosfot apparently doesn't care. The Ran, on the other hand, because of the Or HaChaim side of this, because he assumes that, well, it was the 14th you had to search, he therefore creates less of a problem in terms of the Mekach Tov, because he's saying, look, it's not a case where I told Mordechai, it's just that Mordechai assumed that I keep Halacha, and he was just wrong. Right? So, I should have searched for Chametz, and I didn't. Yes.
I don't remember. What was it with mezuzah, though? That, like, what if you don't leave mezuzah for me, can I, like...
You have to, but then there's the question of the paying and etc. Okay.
Right, yeah, okay.
Fine. So that is what we're up to. What we need to do to understand this is we need to really dig in a little bit to the issue of a Mekach Tov, right? So what we're going to try to do today is just give you a summary of the understanding of Mekach Tov in Halacha in general. Okay? So again, the Gemara's conclusion is there is no Mekach Tov. Now, why not? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Mordechai can't tell me, listen, if I'd known you hadn't searched for chametz, I wouldn't have rented it. Because Mordechai really wants to do a mitzvah. He doesn't want to enjoy his vacation. He wants to search for chametz. That's what he wants to do. Such a good, firm boy. Now, according to Rashi, therefore, why is this not a Mekach Tov? So Rashi is not a Mekach Tov because Mordechai really wants to search.
I thought that was dark.
Like, you really want to search, right? Now, the problem is that what is Rashi assuming? That what Mekach Tov in the end is about is what Mordechai thinks, right? What the buyer thinks.
Oh, right.
Right? But what you need to remember is that in every Mekach Tov, there's two questions you need to deal with. What is that?
Whether it's about what the buyer thinks or what the owner says.
Well, so there's you need to figure out first. There's a few things you need to analyze. First, you need to figure out what is how egregious of a change in what was agreed upon do you need to nullify the sale? Yes? The second factor is you need to figure out whether the problem in question reaches that standard, right? Right? That's one set of questions, right? Which is, what do you need and what do you have? Yes? And the second is, how much of these standards are subjective, right? Meaning, how much of the standards in Makach Taot are simply the sale is going to be nullified because it breaks the agreement that we had and the expectations that Mordechai had in this agreement or that I had in this agreement? And how much do we say, look, it's not just enough that Mordechai cares, we need a certain objective standard, right? And there's certain things, well, right, and you'll have to figure out, right, and that is obviously going to be waived against the standard. Okay, now obviously, if we're dealing with a case, let's say where this was the 14th, and therefore I didn't explicitly tell Mordechai that I wasn't searching, right, sorry, that I did search, then it's easier to understand that the question here is purely an objective one, right? Right, meaning Mordechai and I didn't say anything. Mordechai made an assumption. He was wrong. But since neither Mordechai nor I specified whether it would be searched, the question here is, from an objective perspective, how egregious is it that I gave it to him on the 14th unsearched? And the Gemara's answer is, not that egregious from a Kenyan perspective, because Mordechai really just wants to do mitzvot. Right? So it's not that egregious. Right? And that's why, despite the fact that it's going to frustrate his plans to go swimming, lead it, right? That's what Mordechai always likes doing, going up to the Seder. He just likes swimming, right? And instead of swimming, he has to be searching for chametz.
Well, you can't swim after you meet Rabbi. You get cramps.
The fact that you didn't do it is egregious. The fact that Mordechai is
going to
accept it.
He knows
the swimmer. No, egregious from a Chosha Mishpat perspective, right? Meaning from this, not from my relationship with God in terms of chametz, but in terms of, right, egregious in terms of sale, in terms of the agreement we made. Yeah, meaning on a Chosha Mishpat question. Right, a monetary level. And the answer is, I'll take it up with God, but you go search for chametz, right? No, the answer is, I did something wrong, but Mordechai, you know. Okay, so in order to figure this out, what I want to do is, you know, let's come back to the Makor Chayim, and let's focus on the Gemara. Yeah.
But Rabbi, if you're already within that, then if you're already in the path of your say, then if I don't do the Dika, then
that's what we went to in the beginning of the sugya, where according to Rabbeinu David, in the end of the day, neither of us violate Bali Rabbi Matzei. It's a question of who's chayv in bedika,
right?
And the answer is, well, yes. At this point, you're supposed to do bedika, so you're not violating the Yisur Doraita, but you are missing out the mitzvah derabbanan in bedika. And the Rid said both of us are chayv in Bali Rabbi Matzei. So if you don't do it, you're going to violate Bali or Bali Matze, right? In addition to whatever monetary things are going on, you would violate Bali or Bali Matze.
Did he say that the deal wasn't as good as
Omer? No, he's connecting it, right? He's connecting it. I mean, it might also be, but okay. But let's try to understand what is a Mekach Taot, right? And again, these are huge sugyot, so I'm going to try it, but I'm going to try to give you a basic introduction today. Okay, so look at number 5. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us the following. Amenat shani kohen. If someone gets married on condition that they're a kohen, v'nim talevi, it turns out they're not. So now Mordechai gets to be our criminal and not our unfortunate person. Mordechai gets married to someone and he says, be married to me on condition that I am Mordechai a kohen. It turns out that he's a Levi. Right? Levi v'nimtza a kohen, or vice versa. Right? For some reason, you lied, and Gabe said, get married to me on condition that I am just a Levi, not a Kohen. And it turns out he's a Kohen because he's dating someone, and he's about to tell her the truth, that he's a Kohen. And then she says, you know what frustrates me? The Kohanim every day in Israel. They have to just go and stand up in the front. It just bothers me. It's like showmanship. It just bothers me. And he's like, don't worry, I'm the person in the back washing their hands, right?
See, you participate in the problem, but you're not.
Yes, exactly. All the plots for Jewish soap operas. Thank you, Kobe. Yes. So, or the person says, Nothing, v'nimtza mamzer. He says, I'm not a mamzer, I'm just a givoni. right? And Natan, I come from Givon, right? The nation that tricked Yoshua into letting them convert. Mamzer, or the guy says, don't worry, I'm a Mamzer, but I'm not a Givoni. I don't know why anyone does this, but okay. The name's a Natan. Ben-Ir. Yes, Ben-Ir, Venimsa Ben-Krach, Ben-Krach, Venimsa Ben-Ir. He says, I'm a city, I live in a small town. No, I'm not a New Yorker. No, I'm not a New Yorker.
That's fair.
I'm from St. Louis. I'm a nice, good boy, right? Or the person says, please, I'm not from those out-of-town places. I am from Brooklyn. I am tough. I grew up in New York.
Pizza and skyscrapers.
Exactly. And I like grime and rats. No, right? Yes.
I like my suburbs.
Exactly. Right? Amenad shebeiti karav lamercha tzimtza rachok. On condition that I live close to the bathhouse. And I live far. Rachok tzimtza karav. Amenad sheish lo bat o shivcha migudelet ve'ein lo. Condition that he has an older daughter, or he has a maidservant, or not. On condition he has children. In all these cases, even if she says, I didn't really care. I mean, I made a big deal of it, but I don't care. Right? It doesn't really bother me. Like, you know, I made a big deal that I didn't want to marry a New Yorker, but I don't really care. Really, deep down, I love New Yorkers. Yeah. I have to pretend that I don't like New Yorkers because I'm out of towner.
Maybe she likes the pizza.
Or she's like, fine, you're a New Yorker, but like, you're from Staten Island. That's basically out of town. Yeah. That's basically out of town.
My mom made a condition that she would not marry someone that likes Seinfeld and The Simpsons. Every time she likes
Seinfeld. Yeah, you're not.
Yeah, that was something, but whatever.
That really does, yes. Okay, so this is one of the classic cases. Now, what exactly is the case here? Okay, so first of all, we got to figure out the case. There's two possibilities, right? One possibility is that this is a case of Tanai. Right? Where the person said explicitly, I'm marrying you on condition that you are not a New Yorker. Right? And that is, in fact, how the Ran understands this. Okay? Yes? The Rambam seems to not believe this, or it's not clear, because if you look at the Rambam thinks that, in theory, even though they're not married, the woman has the ability, if she wants to, as in Mordechai's case, right, say, I admit it, I said I was not going to marry someone like The Simpsons, but you know what, I'll swallow it, right? So the Rambam says, Makadesh al Tanai, v'chazer v'achar kama yamim uvitel al Tanai, if someone gets married on condition, and after a few days, nullifies the condition. Aval b'shebitlo v'eno l'veina, shalob v'nei edim, even if they nullify it in private, not in front of witnesses. That's fine. The Tanai is nullified and the marriage works. And if the woman had a Tanai, therefore someone who gets married on condition, and gets married without specifying the condition of Baal Stam, or they were intimate together without specifying the condition, you need a get. Ava bishol kaima tanai. Shema bital tanai kshabal o kishe kanas. So the Ravid has a problem. Okay? What's the problem? Is the Rambam in a parallel case, right, says that if you made an explicit tanai, right, like on Manat that, you don't like Seinfeld, right, and The Simpsons. And it turns out he did like it. So the Rambam says that as long as Mordechai's mother said, you know what, I nullify said condition, right, their marriage works. Yes? What's the problem in the Almanat Sheani Kohen case? Does the Gemara seem to offer that as an option?
No.
Right? The Gemara doesn't seem to offer that as an option. Right? So the Ran understands the Gemara and Kiddushin as being just Tanai. And since he understands just Tanai, he sees a contradiction. Right? So if you look at number 8, now the Ravid fundamentally agrees with the Rambam, except that he thinks that if you look in 7, Amar Avram Enochen Elemkein Kinsa Stam Be'idim, Dehavele Kimisha Bitel Tanai Be'idim. He says, you're right, you don't have to specify that the Amar Avram. His name is Avram. So he just, that's what he always says, Amar Avram. He says that it's not true, right? Then unless you married, it's not enough to just nullify the condition in private. You have to get married in front of witnesses without specifying the Tanai, and that counts as a nullification. But fundamentally, for our purposes, he's similar to the Rambam. The Ran in number 8 says, I don't understand. How could the Rambam say this? Vim tomar batnan beperaka ish mikadesh amenachani onivinim tashir ashivinim tani amenachi koeminim talevi uvakulan afilam rabbelevi ayalit kadesh lo ena mikudeshet. In all these cases, what? It doesn't work. Vim ita diacholali limfal. If the Rambam is correct, that you can just waive the Tanai, and any non-monetary condition, amai ena mikudeshet, I don't understand. Why are they not married? So tertsu, bazeh din achanami dimach la'achagach v'maro ani oto k'ilu hu ashir achanami dimikudeshet, elatam b'shelo machla. His answer is, you're right, you could, you just didn't. If she'd said that, okay, I accept it. It's as if you're rich. Then it works. It just happens to be she didn't. Okay? But that means that according to the Ran, right, according to the Ran, this whole sugya is about Tanai. Right? That both cases, both saying, right, I'm only marrying you on condition that you don't like Seinfeld and The Simpsons. Or I'm marrying you because you're a Kohen, both of those are really, I'm marrying you on condition that you're a Kohen, or you're a Levi. Right? And therefore, according to Ran, fundamentally, in all these cases, we learn that as long as you waive your rights to it, that's fine. Yes? Now, what's the problem here? What?
In our case, the Chacham are waiving his rights.
Okay, so let's try to analyze it. Now here's the problem, is that Tanai, okay, is it obvious that this sugya is about Tanai? No, because what's the difference, because what is a Tanai? A Tanai is a case in which we make a deal, and then we take a factor which is external to the deal, and we are allowed to make the deal contingent on that. Okay? That's what a Tanai is. And that's why the Gemara requires Gzeirat HaKatuv, that Tanai even works. We learn Tanai from where? B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven. Right? That when B'nei Gad and Reuven spoke to Moshe, they said that we will inherit on the east side of the Jordan on condition that we fulfill these, right, all of our responsibilities. Yes? Now, Tanai, because of that, the Gemara rules that in order for Tanai to work, you have to say it in a proper way. You have to double the language, right? You have to say, if I do X, then this will happen. If I don't do it, then the opposite will happen. I have to specify that, right? I need Kefa Lashon, I need Hain and Love, right? The yes part and the no part, right? There's a whole bunch of conditions. What if I didn't do that? It doesn't work. Now, you'll tell me why. How does it not work? I made it clear, right? Mordechai's mother made it clear that she didn't want to get married unless and didn't like, right? So why is it if she says, I am only marrying on condition that you don't like Seinfeld and The Simpsons? So halachically, that means nothing unless she says, and if you do like it, then we're not married, right? Hain and Lav. Why not? Didn't she make it very clear she was only entering this marriage on condition that her husband didn't like Seinfeld? It was a great example. Thank you. Seinfeld and The Simpsons. No, right? No. Right? Wasn't it? Right?
No, it's really just kind of stating what they want to do.
So the answer is because no, it's not as external. right? Meaning, really, they're saying they want to get married. Now you're trying to take some external factor and hang the marriage on that. That is not obvious. One second. That's a tanai. That's a tanai, right? If you don't make the tanai in a legally binding way, in the end of the day, it's external to the deal, and therefore they just decided they were going to get married. Shalom Yisrael, mazel tov, and now we have Mordechai, right? There you go. Here. No, thank you to your parents for waiving their condition.
Yes, okay.
However, is it clear that Mekach Tod is the same as that? So let's take a very extreme case. What if I say to Binyamin, I am selling you an apple, and I give him an orange?
Maybe an apple. That's
do you say, well...
He doesn't know how to do that.
Well, that may be true, but are we going to say now, oh, it's just a tanai? I mean, like, I didn't say I'm selling you an apple on the condition that it's an apple, and if what I give you is not an apple, then I didn't sell it to you. Oh, and therefore you have no taina on me that I gave you an orange instead of an apple. No, because that's not a tanai. What is it? It's a mekach tot. Right? What you thought you were buying, you weren't buying. Right? Mordechai's parents were still getting married. Right? He was the same person. He just happened to like Seinfeld. Right? As opposed to, right? And a person who likes Seinfeld is still fundamentally the same person who doesn't like Seinfeld, as opposed to the fact that an orange is not just an apple that doesn't like Seinfeld. Right? That's not what it is. Right? To mix a bunch of very weird examples here. Right? But an orange is not just an apple that doesn't like Seinfeld. It's like, quote from Purim. Quote from Purim, right? An orange is not just an apple who doesn't like Seinfeld. That's the type of thing that Seinfeld would clearly have said. Right? Now, if that's the case, right, if you're not dealing with Tanai, you're dealing with Mekach Ta'ut, then what's the difference between the Sugyot? Right? What's the difference between saying that what we're dealing with is Tanai and what we're dealing with is Mekach Ta'ut? What we're dealing with is conditions, and we're... It's A, it's internal, and B, the standards are therefore more objective. Right? Because a tanai is a condition is A, external, and B, you stipulated it. Right? And therefore, it is subjective. Right? The reason it's so external is because there's nothing inherent about marriage that makes Seinfeld part of it. You decided that it was important to you, so you brought it into discussion. Right? So it's personal and external. As opposed to a mekach tod, where it's internal to the sale, and therefore, what makes it that Binyamin can renege on this when I gave him an orange and not an apple is not because I said something ridiculous like, I'm selling you an apple and on condition that I give you an apple, then the sale works. But if I don't give you an apple, even orange, it doesn't work. It's not because it's not what it is. But therefore, if I gave him a Pink Lady apple, right? And then we got into an argument, okay, is a... When I say apple, do you normally mean Pink Lady? Or is that, like, such a very specific subspecies of apples that if I meant Pink Lady, I would have said it? Right?
Crab apple would already be a separation.
Right, or whatever, you know. I'm trying to be nice here. But fine, a crab apple doesn't matter, right? Then the question wouldn't be, what did you mean? The question is, objectively, like, what is an apple? Not really. But the point is, the question there would be an objective question, right? Right. The question would be an objective question,
it's not case by case.
Right? No, it is. Meaning, it's not your personal opinion. It's not like you have a thing against Pink Lady apples, right? It's independent of us, right? There's some standard that exists. Yes. Right. Now, if that's the case, then the question you have to ask is not, did Binyamin want a Pink Lady apple? Right? The question you have to ask is, objectively, are these the same? Such that this is called selling an apple and not selling something else. Yes? That's the difference between an internal issue of Mekach Tod and an external issue of Tanai.
This is all to say that it doesn't matter whether you want to do the
detail. Oh, okay. We're getting there. Right? Now, the truth is that Yulkan Yerushalmi right? This is the implication, that this is not an issue of tonight, it's an issue of Megatot. So if you look at the Yerushalmi, Rishimon Omer, Im Hita Lishvach Mikudeshet. Right? Rabbi Shimon says that if he tricked her in the positive direction, then it works. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Moder Rishimon, Sheim Hita Lishvach Yechasim Eina Mikudeshet. But not if they tricked her in the positive direction by personal status. Why? Because Amar Rabbi Yozi, Manida Amar Kain, Amanachin, Nikonim to Levi, Nimta Kohen, Vinim to Levi, Levi Nimta Kohen, Yecholim Emer, Lavina, Boy, Diruche, Rabba Allah. Right? Now, she could say, why do I not want someone to be a Kohen? Because Kohanim think they're so great. I don't want someone who thinks he's so great. Gabe is just going to think he's better than me because he's a priest. You know, I don't want such problems in my life. Now, what's weird about the Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi makes it clear that are we dealing with Tanai? No, because the person didn't say it in advance, right? But what does the Gemara say? The Gemara is saying, what is the Gemara trying to figure out? Objective standards, right? The Gemara is saying, he said, I'm a Kohen, right? So the Gemara is saying, right?
Oh, I'm not married. What's
right, so the Gemara is saying, look, maybe if he said he was a Levi, and it turns out he's a Kohen, so that obviously the marriage works. Why? Because everyone wants a Kohen. Everyone wants to marry Gabe. Everyone wants to marry a Kohen. And then the Gemara says, no, not everyone wants to marry a Kohen, because Kohanim are just such great people and just so proud of being Kohen. Sometimes it bothers people. Hey. But the point is the Gemara asking what this particular woman said, or it's trying to figure out what is a reasonable standard for what people care about? Which is the Gemara asking? Right, trying to figure out a standard. What does that show you?
Wait,
1 second. It's not objective. Objective is the wrong word. No, subjective is also the wrong word. Meaning, it's not personal. Is it personal, or is this like a standard that society could understand is something that people care about enough that it should be a reason that they would want the marriage undermined? I'm going to leave objective and subjective. The point is personal. Is this something that the only reason we care about it at all is because you care about it? Or is that something that we understand that you might care about? Right? Now, why does that matter? Why does that matter? Because what the Gemara is asking about is not the Tanai. The Gemara is saying that Gabe they weren't getting married on condition that Gabe was a Kohen. It's like, he was just giving over information. I'm a Kohen, right? And now the Gemara is trying to figure out, is that the type of thing that people care about enough that if it turns out the fact isn't true, that would undermine the marriage in a, again, objective, I don't know if the right word, non-fundamental, meaning without you specifying, is that a societally agreed upon big enough change that everyone understands that is something that would undermine the legitimacy of the sin? What?
Mom's there or someone from...
So I don't know, but the point is it the type of thing that... It doesn't matter. Is it the type of thing that society would see a difference in enough, right, that it would legitimately undermine the marriage? Now, what is...
So are there groupings surrounding each of these cases?
It seems like you have to know who you're married.
She can, but is that the question here? It seems like it's not, right? Very good. Yes, exactly. Right? Yes, because if it's a Tanai, then what matters is her. Right? If she explicitly made a Tanai with all the rules of conditions, then what matters is her. But if it's societal, this is a Mekachtod question, right? Then what matters is... Right? So for example, right? Again, this is not objective. It's not objective, right? It's societal, right? Meaning, in certain places, right? People don't care, right? So let's say if in, you know, country X, people only eat green apples. That's what they eat. So everyone understands that if you're giving an apple, you mean a green apple, right? So in such a place, if you gave, right? Please don't. Not drink shit. You can put a sign. Thank you.
For the person who likes red apples.
What? Right? But if you're in a place where people, green and red is equal, right? So then, right, you would have to specify if you wanted to, right, to diverge. Okay. Now, we have a similar problem emerging in the Gemara in Ketubot number 10. Right, the Gemara there says, "Amakadesh yidisha manat she'in alay nedarim, alay nedarim nimtzu alay nedarim ain amikudesha." There, right, a man marries a woman on condition that she has not forbidden herself by vow to anything. Okay, and then kinsa, and then it turns out she did. She had forbidden herself to all bananas. Horrible. What would you like her to have made a nether against, Avi?
That's a really bad one.
Well, we've been talking about apples and oranges.
And we were talking about banana cornflakes, though.
So what do you want? What would you like her to have forbidden herself to? So you come up with a better thing. You don't like bananas, or you like bananas, and that. So come up with something better.
I'll let it go.
Bananas. Bananas it is. Honestly. It's not like I said something which was completely random. We were talking about apples and oranges. A banana is not a huge jump. So it's not like I said she forbade herself from benefiting from a platypus. I mean, like, that would have been weird. I don't know. I don't know why you... What? Banana is clearly more different than a platypus. Okay. So, kinsa stam, but if they get married without her specifying, minim tzalei nedarim, teitzi shelo biktuba, right? So wait a second. The Gemara says, but if they get married without specifying, and she has nedarim, so they are married, but he can divorce her without giving her a ketubah. Okay? So what's the difference between these two cases? So in one case where you made it into Tanai, if she doesn't live up to what she said she was going to, the marriage itself is undone. Yes? In the second case, right? Because you didn't specify, it doesn't. It's still considered a problem, and therefore, if he wants to divorce her, he can. The marriage clearly stands, but because it's clearly problematic, and she should have revealed that information, he can divorce her without paying the ketubah. Okay? So now, yeah, I should have given you one more line. This is the problem sometimes when I'm trying to give it to you on Svari and stuff, because, like, I put the wrong number in, you know? Like, I look at it, I'm like, okay, put in this number, so I'll read you the next relevant line. I skipped one. So the Gemara then says, Tani Namiach, we have a braita that says, Be'elu Nidarim Amr, what type of Nidarim are we talking about? Not bananas. Dvarim She, not as a bananas, but Dvarim She'ej B'minu Nefesh. It has to be things that cause pain. Shlo Tochal Basar, Shlo Tishay Yayin, like, she shouldn't have meat or wine, or Tishkashed B'vigdei Tzivonin, or she should never wear colorful clothing. Now the question is, what is the braita going on? Okay? So Rav Papa says that this braita is only going on the seifa. Meaning, the second case of the Mishnah, when we say that these things don't affect the marriage, but they do affect whether you get the ketubah, the only things that are justifiable reasons to not pay the ketubah, you don't have this, I left this line out, I'm sorry, right, is, are nidarm of these sorts, okay? But in terms of the resha, there's no limits. A person can make a condition and whatever he wants. Okay? So what the Gemara is saying, listen, according to Rav Papa, whatever condition you make, if you make it explicit, then that affects the marriage. The marriage is uprooted.
At the start of the marriage.
Yes. If you didn't make it explicit, so the marriage stands. And then the only way to make it that you can get divorced without a ketubah is if what the woman did is societally agreed upon as bad. Understood? Yes? Rav Ashi says no. Ravashi Omer Olam Aresha. Ravashi is Rami Chudash, and he says no. Even when you made an explicit condition, if it's the type of thing that nobody cares about, the marriage works. And therefore, if you made a condition, I will only marry you on condition that you don't like The Simpsons and you don't like Seinfeld, that's something that nobody cares about, right? And therefore, say it from today until tomorrow, put explicit tonight, write it down in front of witnesses, and you know what we say? Who cares, right? Me the Avik Beda, right? Me the Kapti by Inche, things that people care about, we care about. Avik Beda, Kveda, Avik Beda, Kapeda. What he cares about counts as being cared about, insisting upon. Me the low Kapti by Inche, things that people don't care about, Lo Avik Beda, Kveda. We don't care about. Now, this is shocking. Why is this shocking? Because, wait a second, isn't the whole point of Tanai? Right, it's one thing by Mekach Tot where I didn't say it explicitly, right? So then you're trying to look for objective standards, but you're telling me that even when I say it explicitly, right, and it's a Tanai, which we understand is external, but it matters to me. You're telling me that I don't have the right, even there, to make completely arbitrary subjective conditions? Really? Really? Is that what you're saying? How could that be? So the Tosfot isn't willing to buy that this exists, right? And therefore, Tosfot says in 11, Nira dahainuk shit nestama menachin ele nedarim. Lopesh isn't neder. He says, it must be where you made a condition that what? You made a condition that she doesn't have nidarim, but you didn't specify what type of nidarim. And therefore, there is ambiguity, and that's why we care what other people think. You're right. Right? Meaning, exactly. Right? He's saying, look, the toast doesn't say, look, you're right. You can make whatever tonight you want. It just happens that you didn't. You made like a very generic tanai, which we assume doesn't mean everything, because like, that's not what you meant. So then we figure out what do most people mean. Yes? But Tosfot isn't willing to entertain the possibility that you can't care about whatever you want and make a tanai about it. Right? Tosfot can't buy this. The Ramban and the Ritva say, why not? Maybe even by Tanai, so the Ritva says, right, me did the low kapti by Inche Lavik pay the parish to Mistamal Gamel and Darm the kapi bu Inche, Hailu Perish Moder of Ashi pay the Kpeda. Right, so first possibility he quotes his Tosfot, but if you look at the last line, at the end of the second line, Aval Yesha Pershu, some say that Filu Hitna Beferush, even if you explicitly said a Tanai that nobody cares about, but La Daito Eitzel Kol Adam, you are nullified to everybody else, and nobody cares. Right, nobody cares. Now that's quite shocking, right? Because what is the Ramban and the Ritva adding now? It's not that it's the same, but even Tanai, which is about personal preference, there's only a range of personal preferences we care about. But not that there's no nafkamina, but they are similar in that way. Meaning, I don't know if there's no nafkamina, right? And like maybe Mekach Tot is a hot, right? Maybe Mekach Tot is a, right? It could be that there's still slightly different standards, but fundamentally, yes. He thinks that even Tanai has a certain level of objective standard, where if it's something that nobody should care about, nobody does care about, then what? Then it just doesn't matter, right? Even though you said it explicitly, even though you made your marriage depend on it, doesn't matter. Okay? Oh, if you want, I gave it to you inside, which was the source for Tanayim. I gave you 13, right? The Tanayim B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, but I won't read it inside now. Okay. So, do you guys want me to try to just finish the sugya today? I know it's very complicated, but you want, now that we've talked about these ideas, you want me to plug it in for you? I can do it in less than, I can, meaning, okay. So now, right, let's plug it into our sugya. Okay? Right? Let's plug it into our sugya. So, according to Tosfot, right? According to the Ram, this is happening on the 14th. Right? If it's happening on the 14th, that means I did not explicitly make any condition with Mordechai. The reason Mordechai assumes that the house was searched was because there was a presumption. Therefore, is our sugya about Tanai? No. What is it about? Mekach Tod, about objective standards. So what is the Gemara asking? What's the Gemara's suffake?
Whether or not this is something that we can expect.
Correct. Is this the type of thing that objectively is considered a flaw that undermines the sale? What's the Gemara's answer? No, because? Because no, what does the Gemara say? Because you like doing mitzvot. Right? Yes?
Because the objective standard will also rest upon the purchase.
Correct, because once it's talking about objective standards, well, we have an objective standard.
It's also about the gap.
Correct, and the point is that Mordechai likes doing mitzvot, and therefore the fact that I didn't do what I was supposed to doesn't change the fact that this doesn't undermine the sale, because Mordechai in the end is forced to do a mitzvah, so big deal. Right?
Yes.
Right? What about according to Tosfot that we're talking about before, right, that it's the 13th, I said it explicitly. So now you'll tell me, look, I understand the Mekach Ta'ut, but how about on Tanai? Didn't we say that a Tanai can be whatever you care about? What's the answer? Well, not necessarily, because we said that's the Machloket, Tosfot, and the Ramban. According to Tosfot, any condition that I make, as long as I make it clear enough, doesn't matter how wacky it is, it affects the sale. Right? But according to the Ramban and the Ritva, they say, no, even Tanai, what? Shares with quality with Mekach Ta'ud that there's a limit to the things you're allowed to care about or that you can care about and the law cares that you care about. Right? Even things that you say explicitly. Right? And therefore, with the Ramban's background, then it could be that this is even the case where it's the 13th. And even though Mordechai explicitly said it tonight, what is the Gemara saying? That so much do we believe that you like doing mitzvot, right? That we don't care.
We know you are.
Right? So then we don't care that you care, right? Because objectively speaking, we don't care. Right? Right? You should want to do the mitzvah. Too bad. Right? What? Doesn't matter. Tosfot in different mesechta. Yeah, different. These are different mesechta. I know it's Tosfot here, Tosfot there, but they're different shittot. Right? So you understand now why this little tour of Mekach Ta'ut and Tanai, right, is important? Because now we know. Because if we have a position who says that not only Mekach Ta'ut does it objective standards, but even Tanai, sometimes there are objective standards, then we could say, even if it's the 13th, even if you said it explicitly, it doesn't matter. The fact that we objectively say that people like doing mitzvot is enough of a reason for us to what? To say, very good. Very, very good. Okay? So I just want, but now I said, the last thing I'll deal with, I'll try to do this in 5 minutes, is, okay, but what about the payment? Right? Because there's two questions here, right? One question is even, okay, we've established that maybe Mordechai, within Tanai, we can say there are certain things we don't care about. But maybe we only say that what you said doesn't matter enough such that you have to now take the apartment that we made a deal on. But maybe that I still have to pay you, right? Maybe the fact that you made it Tanai is enough to say that the fact that you didn't expect to have to hire 25 people to clean the 28-bedroom estate, right?
You can also apply that idea within Mekach Ta'ut.
And maybe within Mekach Ta'ut also, right? You could say that maybe mekachtaot, it's not a objective problem if I just have to go and do a mitzvah. But if I have to spend money, maybe that is objective, right? So that is a machloket, right? And if you look at Shulchan Aruch, you want to just look, so we can try to do it quickly. Look at Shulchan Aruch on 14, where he brings the summary. It says, Amasker by the Chaver Becheskot Baduk, if I sell or I rent my apartment on the assumption that it's checked. V'nim Tosheinu Baduk, Al Socher, Livdok, Meino Mechka Tod. V'afilu B'makam Shabotkin Beskar, even in a place where we pay to search, are a mitzvah osa. And the Ramah says, V'yesh Omrim Detrach Lahach Zir Loskara Bedika, Ho V'hitim Behed Yashay Baduk. Right? But he quotes the position of the Magen Mishnah, who says, listen, right? This is a compromise position, which is, when Mordechai explicitly said to me, I'm renting this on condition that you're going to search it before, what does he mean? So, he says, well, we paskin that even in Tanai, there are certain objective standards. And therefore, does this standard, is it enough to nullify the sale? No, but the Magen Mishnah says, okay, but what was the effect of Mordechai putting a Tanai on it? What legally he really meant was, if it turns out I need to spend money to do the bidika, then you deduct that from the final price. That's what it really meant. Right? You understand what he's saying? He's saying, look, you can say there are certain things that I don't care about in the Tanai in terms of it's not enough to nullify the sale. But my Tanai has to mean something, so why did I verbalize it if it's illegally relevant? So Magen Mishnah's answer is, you're right, it's not enough, even though Mordechai said it, it's not enough to nullify the agreement. But it is enough to say that when he spent the $100,000 to rent my estate for Pesach, he didn't, right? If he was going to have to expend $3,000 to do Bedika, he understood that that was going to be deducted from the fee. That was the purpose. Right, and some people say not even. Right? Now, why not? Now, there are other examples. So I'll just tell you that some of the Achronim say, well, wait a second. In a case where I sell Mordechai a house on condition that I'm leaving mezuzahs, if I don't leave the mezuzah, even though I should have left the mezuzah, Mordechai has no taina against me. So the Achronim say, well, why in that case does everyone agree that he has no taina against me? And here not. The Achronim give a very simple answer, is that they might be different. Because in the end of the day, you get to keep your mezuzah, right? Like, you could kick and scream that I should have left the mezuzah, but at the end of the day, you go out, spend money, and buy a mezuzah, and now you have a mezuzah. So what are you going to do? You're going to make me pay for the mezuzah? Right? Now, the truth is the Makor Chaim doesn't like this, because he says, what do you mean? The whole point was he assumed he wouldn't have to go spend a mezuzah. Like, yes, he has a mezuzah ben, but he still spent more money than he was planning to, so he doesn't like this. So if you look at Tetvav in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, Ledina Pasuk Acharim Kedea Kamaita. V'chol Davna Eino Tzarech L'Shalim Lo. Right? L'halacha, the problem is whenever there's a Safek in Mammon, what's the halacha? Kimli. Is you can always say you can't make me pay because I hold like the more makil position. And therefore, Motzi Mechaveru L'Varaya. Right? In order for Mordechai to force me to pay him, he needs to prove that that's how we paskin. And therefore, the poskim say, since you can't prove that we paskin, that I have to pay you, I don't have to pay you. Right? So the Mishnah Berurah assumes that he doesn't have to pay. That's in the Mishnah Berurah. In the Ber Halacha, he's less sure. Right? In the Ber Halacha, he's not sure because on the other hand, he says, on the one hand, you say, Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya, but on the other hand, you did make an explicit Tanai. Right? Right? And you might think that the explicit Tanai would shift the balance. Right? And therefore, so I would have to pay. And therefore, it's not entirely clear. As I said, right, there is this discussion in the Achronim about the mezuzah, where if you look, the Aruch HaShulchan will summarize that some people said the reason by the mezuzah, most posts can assume I don't have to pay him for the mezuzah, because at the end of the day, Mordechai gets to own the mezuzah that he buys. Again, the Makor Chaim doesn't like it, because at the end of the day, you have to pay for the mezuzah that you weren't expecting to pay for, and therefore they should be parallel. If you want a little bit more of a summary, you can look at more Har Chaim. But again, I just wanted to get you the taste of the sugya of Mekachtot, of Tanai, and understand how both of them, right, have the potential to have certain objective standards, subjective standards, and how in our sugya, where, whether this is the 13th or the 14th, right? Makes it that you then have to figure out, is it that the reason Mordechai assumes what he assumes is because that's just likely what happened, or because that is what I said, right? So, again, if you think that whenever it's Tanai, it's external to begin with, and therefore whatever I say goes, then it must be that this sugya is talking about the 14th, right? And the reason that I don't have to pay him back is because I never said anything explicitly. It's just implicit. And once it's implicit, it's a mekach taud question. Once a mekach taud question, it's a question of objective standards. If I want to say it's the 13th, then I have to say a bigger chiddush, right? Which is that even when I say it explicitly, there's a limit to what we care about, right? And then we said the added question is, how much do I not care? Once we say there are objective standards of what I care about, even in a case of Tanai, where Mordechai explicitly said he was buying on this can, do I not care at all? Or do I say, I do care, but only enough to make me pay Mordechai for the money he put down to search for chametz, but not enough to undo the sale. Okay? So that's just an introduction to the basic notions of Tanai, internal problems, external problems, objective problems, subjective problems in sales. Tomorrow we'll go back to Dalet. We will do a little bit of an easier sugya than this sugya, and that is the question of ne'manot, of believability, of people who are not normally witnesses, women and children. And there I did, like I did last time, I put an entire English article that summarizes the sugya. So if you get lost, it will go through it for you. Because I don't want to spend too much time. It could be a huge sugya, and it is a huge sugya, but I don't want to spend too long on it. Maybe 2 days on it. And then because after that, we're going to do a huge sugya, so I feel bad for all of you. No, it's actually a very nice sugya. It's Bittul Chametz. We've been talking about it forever, but we're actually going to do the sugya Bittul. But that's a huge, huge sugya, which with the English, the Makarot is 10 pages.